American Hostile Championship Wrestling brings you A Night with the King. This is a Fraternal Order of Eagles scholarship fundraiser on November the 9th, 2009 at 600 East Washington Street in Hayti, Missouri. That's right, November the 9th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and a show starts at 7:30 p.m. All events tickets are only $10, $12 at the door. Call Mark for tickets at 636-232-3313. A Night with the King. Stop right there. And that's Derek by God King. Ringside with Derek will be just in case. We'll also have the LA Hustlers, the Missouri Bad Boys, and many, many more. A Night with the King. Hey, Tom, Missouri. Be there or be square.
Shift Yet is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shooting the Shift Yet sent you.
Anyone can suffer from recurrent or punctual erectile dysfunction due to stress, fatigue, or medical conditions. Stop feeling bad about it. Have better sex with proven solutions. Blue Chew can now offer you the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis at a fraction of the price, discreetly delivered to your door. Just pick the package that matches your needs and make sure you never get caught off guard at the moment you least want it. Blue Chew will help you gain your confidence back in the most convenient way. No waiting rooms, no appointments required, no embarrassing face-to-face meeting with your doctor. Your online prescription will be approved within 24 hours. You're just minutes away from a heightened sex life. Your performance will be as great as your dreams.
Use promo code STS. STS gets your first month free. All you have to do is pay postage and handling. Now on with the show.
In Chicago, we are in the Mallow Cup Studios here in Chicago, you know, once again, Halloween season, and we have our post Bound for Glory recap. I was at Bound for Glory last night. I am joined, by the way, in the green room. I've got my co-host, Brian Trammell, over there in the green room. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, man. How's it going?
We had some corn fritters and I think some Mallow Cups in the green room for you. I hope you found that to your liking today.
Man, those Mallow Cups, man. That's top-notch candy right there.
I know. Some people that I don't, you know, I don't do weed, but some people who do smoke like those Mallow Cups. They say it's good for the munchies and everything. So anyway, so last night I had the privilege being in Chicago. Welcome to Chokehold, by the way. CTP, baby. CTP, the podcast. I have the privilege of being in Chicago, and Chicago is one of the hottest cities when it comes to wrestling this year. between, you know, all the AEW stuff that we've had, Shimmer, obviously we get Shimmer a couple times a year. Now Bound for Glory did their biggest show of the year, and we have the MLW inaugural pay-per-view in a couple weeks here as well. So I am one lucky bastard to get to go to a lot of this stuff, and of course freelance on a monthly basis. So last night was Bound for Glory, TNA, or, you know, if you want to get on me for calling them TNA, be my guest, because it's going to be TNA for the rest of our lives for a lot of us, I'm sure.
I still say it. And the thing about what I want to do is you're going to do the live report. I know you're going to get some stuff that I didn't get to see. But right. I want to give you the actual what I thought about it after you get done for each match.
Yeah, definitely. So the this is their biggest show of the year, and yes, they're Impact, and you know we all know that they're trying to get away from the TNA stigma and everything, but whatever, they're still TNA to me. So we had purchased the tickets, I don't know, a day or two after they went on sale, and we got third row, which I thought, oh boy, that's, you know, that's kind of sad for them that, like, with AEW and the pattern they've established, you know, everything sells out in like 90 seconds and stuff. So I got the tickets the day after they went on sale, and we still got third row. So I was really excited that we got third row. So we're on our way there. Margaret and I were driving, and I don't know if you saw the picture, but we find ourselves on the highway behind the Planner's Peanut Mobile.
So I know. I was so jealous.
You've all seen the Wiener Mobile, you know, the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. Who knew that Planners actually has this giant fucking peanut that is made into a vehicle as well? So we're driving behind him. I'm like, I don't know how this bodes for the show because this could be good or bad. I don't know, but I'm assuming good. And yes, he drove like a fucking nut. So there you go. There's the obvious joke. So we get to the arena, and the Odeum is like, I'm sure it probably looks like a normal, like arena, stadium, whatever on TV, but they have a very, let's just say, amateurish way of setting up their seats. Like nothing is numbered. You barely know what sections are each section, you know, and then a lot of the places general admission altogether in the bleachers. So we knew we had third row. We knew what section we were in. So we go to where our seats should be, and there's people in our seats. We got there like, I don't know, a few minutes before bell time. And, of course, there's people in our seats, so we asked them, well, what do you guys have? And they said, well, we're fifth row, but they told us to sit here. And I'm like, well, this is the third row, so I don't know how they're managing to tell you that this is the fifth row seats. You should be sitting here. And so we get one of the ushers, and this guy doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. And so Margaret gets pissed, and Margaret's like, well, these are our seats, so we're just going to sit here. And the guys actually, believe it or not, the guys gave up the fight and they left the seats. And so we get in our seats. So we come to find out we are literally on the rail of the ramp where they're coming to the ring. And I'm literally on the rail. So I'm sure I'm probably on TV a handful of times. Shout out to Joe Feeney, who always wants to make sure that he's on TV. So I was probably on there because I was like right there. It was like some of the best seats we've ever had. And I didn't even know we were in that section that we were going to be on the rail. So we're third row, ringside, just fabulous seats. And we were just so stoked and so close. So there were a couple of pre-show matches before they went on the air. And ironically, the first pre-show match was the worst match of the night. So you guys haven't seen this. Nobody, even if you watch the pay-per-view, you haven't seen this. So they opened with Madison Rayne against Shotzi Blackheart. Now, Madison Rayne, I've seen a handful of times, and I've always seen her in decent matches. I'm not going to say she's great, but I've seen her in at least good matches. Shotzi, I've seen in some very good matches because she's been in Shimmer for years, just signed with NXT, and she can go. But for whatever reason, these two had horrible chemistry, botches all over the place. The only highlight for me was the fact that Kiera Hogan was sitting at the announce table like a mere feet from us with her hot little dress and her blue hair. So Madison ends up winning this with a botched finish. She did some kind of version of a curtain call for the win. I gave it one star. It was just awful.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, having not seen that, there's nothing that was on the card that was nearly close to as bad as this was. So this was awful. I was glad they got it out of the way. Second match, this was weird to me because they moved the Lucha six-man match to the pre-show. It was supposed to be Dr. Wagner Jr., Aerostar, and Taurus against the Rascals. So Dr. Wagner, the classic Dr. Wagner, who of course comes out with his mask on, even though he lost the mask. And now the ritual is at some point during the match, he loses the mask again. He just takes it off. Aerostar, who we've seen do some crazy shit dives and crazy stuff, diving off of high scaffolds and shit. And Taurus is the guy with that giant bull mask that he wears, that bull, like, whole head.
Right, I love that.
Great presentation.
I hated it at first, but I love it now. So.
And then they're against the Rascals, who come out with these dumb 420 baseball jerseys. I'm like, I already don't like those guys. Now they're wearing 420 baseball jerseys. I'm like, okay, we get the hint. We get your shtick. It's dumb. It's stupid.
They're so good, and I'm like you too about that gimmick. It's like was good for 3 weeks. Now it's like, that's right. It's like I want to slap them in the back of the head and say, act
that
right.
That stupid shit where they're doing the hand gesture under their chin.
But they're so good. I try to forget all that stuff, you know, so
absolutely.
I can enjoy them. Yeah.
So
and this match, by the way, I seen this on Observer.com. This match will air Tuesday. On the Access show, what they're doing is they're introducing people to Impact this coming Tuesday, and so which is tomorrow, and then they'll have this match is going to be actually on the show.
Yeah, and so this match was good. They had a like a lucha drum corps right behind us, and they were going crazy pounding the drums during the match. It was so incredibly loud. But of course, you know, they do a typical great dive sequence. The Rascals are great. You know, don't get me wrong, they're great. But as baby faces, I think they're totally miscast doing this gimmick. I think they're just so obnoxious and annoying as baby faces. So, but they're great in the ring. They did this great dive sequence, and I'm thinking, okay, all these guys are going to do dives. And then it culminates in Wagner doing a great dive, too. And I'm like, holy shit, I didn't think he was going to do one. I thought they would fake us out with that. But he did one, too. Rascal, well, I guess I might as well tell the finish because by the time people listen to this, Rascals win with that really cool finisher they do where the one guy does like the standing moonsault and the other guy pushes him into the opponent on the mat and for the pin. So they pin Aerostar. I gave it 3 stars. Good match. Good solid match. Good. One thing, I don't know if this says more about me or the Rascals, but I don't know which one is which. You got a black guy, a Latino guy, and a white guy. And I honestly
I don't know the names apart.
Yeah. I don't know which one's which. So I don't know if it's because they're so fucking generic and annoying, or I'm just stupid. One or the other. It's probably a combination of both. So anyway, so then we go live. The first
hold
match
on,
was
hold
the-
on. I got something I bet you didn't know.
Uh-oh.
This is the wrong show. Ah, crap.
No, you can do it here. I will grant you this. On Chokehold
the podcast, I get the theme song wrong, so what the fuck? Does it really matter which show we're doing?
You got something else wrong last week, but whatever.
I did the cool kids last week, but I did change that today, so there you go. I bet you didn't know the reason why he comes out in his mask. I don't know, you probably know this, but why they started doing this was that the guys that lose their mask, they lose mask sales. They lose gimmick sales, so you don't see the mask as much anymore. So, and then they said, "Well, we'll just wear the mask to the match." And they found out when they wear it to the match that they sell more. Instead, so the people are looking at it and say, "I want to buy one just like he's wearing."
I believe you, but what's odd about that is the mask he came out with last night was like that Vader mask where you can actually see his face. It's like strappy. So I'm like, I don't know if maybe they were selling those too. I didn't notice. The merch stand was all t-shirts.
There was one guy that recently lost his mask, and when they go to Japan, he always wears it. Then he rips it off, and that was the main reason so they could keep selling gimmicks. There you go.
Right. That makes sense. From a economic standpoint, that makes sense. So they go live, the live feed begins, and the arena goes black, and they tell the audience to watch the screen, watch the screen, and they're okay, the arena went dark. Is that better?
That's better.
They show like a highlight package promoting the show on the screen, and they tell you to watch the screen. So I happen to turn around to look at the ring, and there in pitch black darkness, they got Hornswoggle going under the ring during this thing where they misdirected everybody to watch the screen.
Oh my God, like was he was under there for a while. And,
well, so that match opened was the gauntlet match or the rumble match. It was a typical Royal Rumble rules match. I don't know what they called it, but some kind of gauntlet match. So
call your shot gauntlet.
Call your shot, exactly. So it starts with Eddie Edwards and one of the guys from Reno Scum. And I thought initially going into this match, I was excited about it because I thought, well, this, you know, Impact has so many good workers and not everybody has a match. So there's a lot of good workers that are available. So they'll get them all in here. And then they start with guys like Rohit Raju and all these scrub guys like the Deaners and stuff. And I'm not sold on Reno Scum particularly. So I'm like, oh, wait, there are some crappy workers in Impact. So they're getting all those guys a payday. But Eddie Edwards started and was great throughout this whole thing. They bring out Joey Ryan, which apparently he had just signed. And so Joey Ryan does all of the dick humor and all of the dick shtick. Which I'm like, God, are we still doing this? It's 2019. I thought this was done about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, isn't it time to move on?
Well, it's Impact, you know. He'll have a whole
He hasn't done it there yet.
The funny thing is, on the screen, I'm going to interrupt you here, but on the screen it said Cody Deaner when he came out.
Oh, when he came out? So they botched that one. So they then they have Jessica Havoc, Rosemary comes out. That monster Madman Fulton from OVE came out.
He's huge.
I think he got pretty much the Kane spot in this, where he eliminated a bunch of guys, and they, for whatever reason, they gave him the big, you know, where he got the major amount of eliminations.
I got a question about him, by the way. In person, he's bigger than anybody in this.
Yeah, he's really tall. He's got to be about 6'6", at least, if not more. But I thought they missed the boat on this, because Jordynne Grace, I went into this thinking, you know, this would be a great spot to make Jordynne Grace even bigger, because they could have had her eliminate a handful of guys. Even if she didn't win the thing, she could have gotten a glory spot where she got to eliminate 4 or 5 guys, and she got unceremoniously dumped out. Rosemary got dumped out real quickly, and so did Havoc. I thought they got rid of them really quickly and without much fanfare. The big pop was for Kylie Rae running in. You know, that nobody saw it coming. And I'll tell you an anecdote. I ran into some of the freelance guys before the show, a couple of the freelance guys, including Isaias Velasquez, who is the boyfriend. And I asked him, hey, how's Kylie
doing? Kayfabe.
Yeah, totally kayfabe me, the son of a bitch. So we've had him on the show. So I said, hey, dude, how's Kylie doing? He said, oh, good, good. You know, and doesn't say a word.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
In retrospect, I'm glad that he didn't say a word, because then I popped just as big as everybody else for the Kylie appearance in the Battle Royal. So what threw me off was that Mahabali Shira ended up being the final guy. So normally you're like, you know, the last guy running in is going to be a Rey Mysterio, a Daniel Bryan level guy. And you get Mahabali Shira as the final guy. I'm like, wait, there's got to be more. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, no, that's it. That's it. So Eddie Edwards ends up going bell to bell, goes the distance, and wins, pinning him with the Boston Knee Party. I knew when it came down to Eddie Edwards and two other guys, two heels, that obviously he was going to win.
Sure, yeah.
Obviously, that's the way they go. And that actually played into the final of the X Division match later on that we'll get to. I don't know what you thought. What'd you think? I initially liked it a lot. I gave it 3, but then I downgraded it to 2.5 because it was a lot more comedy than I was expecting. It was good. It was entertaining. There were some funny spots and some fun spots. But I just couldn't get the taste out of my mouth that I thought they should have really put over Jordynne Grace in this spot.
You said something about a glory hole during this. I don't remember seeing
glory spot. I
said. Oh, my bad.
Glory
my
spot.
Bad.
Yeah.
I was, by the time Hogan came out,
Kiera Hogan.
She came out, I was like, ugh, I was tired. I was like, I'm sick of this. Swoggle was kind of fun. Kylie came out, I popped again. I was like I loved what Rosemary was wearing, by the way. And Havoc is absolutely my favorite. She is tall also. So you get to see all these people, these people in the size they really are kind of thing. But the only thing with me was Fulton is like one of these guys that just surprises me. He works so hard and just huge. I gave it 2 stars for the TV version. The crowd was real hot for Sabu too. They was real hot for Kylie, and then Sabu comes during Sabu's thing. I was really surprised at how hot they were for him.
He botched a couple spots away.
As
I don't
usual.
Know
how, so,
if
yeah,
that
yeah.
was caught, but yeah. So I think that took the crowd down a little bit. Yeah, I guess so. So then our next match was actually, I guess, if you look at the grading for me, this was the low point of the pay per view itself, but still obviously better than that pre show match. So it was Taya Valkyrie defending the Knockouts title against Tennille Dashwood, aka Emma from back in the day.
And she almost stole the win.
there you go. But I'm bummed.
All right.
I there was nothing to this match for me. I thought there was nothing awesome about it. There was nothing truly shitty about it. It was just kind of there. It just took up space on the card. Just a typical fuckery distraction finish where Taya retains. I did not see them putting the belt on Tennille Dashwood. I thought she's just so bland to me. What kind of baby face? Her catchphrase is, "It's all about me." And that's supposed to be a baby face? I don't get that either. And she started doing that shit in WWE, but as a heel, you know? So I'm like, it worked better when you're a conceited asshole heel as opposed to a baby face. And anyway, so I gave it 2.25. Didn't think much of it. Didn't bother me, but it just didn't do anything for me.
Really? I thought it came off really well on television with the girls work. And this was your fourth match. This was only my second. And mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Royal Rumble kind of fan, but the girls worked really hard. And the package pile driver looked, I thought she killed her. I thought she killed her. I gave it like 2.75. I enjoyed it a little bit better than you did, but okay. It's come off on TV a little bit better. Mm-hmm. The crowd was still really hot. And then the third match comes up. The crowd is so hot for this match mm-hmm. coming across for television.
So this was the tag match, the three-way tag match for the tag title. So it was the North, which is Ethan Page and Josh Alexander with the Rick Steiner headgear. Against RVD and Rhino representing the ECW contingent, and then Willie Mack and Rich Swann. So sloppy start, definitely a sloppy start. And I was telling my friends who didn't have much experience watching Willie Mack, I'm like, watch this dude, because this big dude is, you're going to look at him and think, how the fuck does that guy do that shit, you know? And he did a couple spots like that, but it took a while to get to that point. Some sloppy chemistry with, like, all of them, basically. And then RVD finally makes the hot tag. I thought he looked fantastic. He did some great stuff. The crowd finally got back into it again when he got in there and they were into it. And then all of a sudden, out of fucking left field, RVD turns on Rhino and like super kicks him and takes him out. And I'm like, wait, there was nothing telegraphing that. There was no friction between them. There was no miscommunication spot in the match or anything. So the crowd, I think that took the crowd out of it because the crowd loved RVD and then they kind of didn't know how to react to this RVD heel turn all of a sudden. So in all the heat and confusion and mayhem that was going on, the North double teams Rich Swann to retain the title. So I gave it 3.25, really liked it. RVD had his working shoes on. I thought he did a really nice job and the crowd was massively into it when he was in there before the turn. All I can think of is that weird, freaky looking girlfriend of his is in his ear or something, and that poisoned his mind. And
now,
so that's why
that's
RVD went
happened.
Back. That chick is just one weird looking broad. So anyway, 3.25 for me. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I gave it 3.75. I mean, I really mm-hmm. liked the match. I thought I typed while I was watching it, Rhino looks like he has grown. Like he's growing up.
He's
or
so
something.
Thick. He is so thick.
He's so big.
He is one wide man, I will say.
Love
that.
The finish. I did too. I love the finish. I love that the crowd was so hot. And when you can do a heel turn without anybody thinking about it, and then RVD doing it, and the crowd going, and then booing. I mean, they were actually booing RVD.
Yeah, there was some boos, but I think there was more confusion than anything else. I don't know. I mean, you're right. There's a time and a place for a turn out of nowhere, absolutely out of nowhere, not to trademark Randy Orton there. But this one just came so complete, and people love Rob Van Dam. I'm not going to go too in detail here, but there was a special needs kid right in front of me wearing an RVD shirt. I'm like, oh shit, this kid's going to be brokenhearted, you know? And I'm like, oh, I feel so bad for this kid, you know? And people loved him. He was getting probably the highest, you know, cheers in that match. And then that turn just came out of nowhere. I'm like, the work in the match was fantastic. I really, honestly, I thought they were putting the belts on Swann and Willie Mack here, but they left them on the North. They don't seem to have done much with the North, so maybe they're going to leave it on them for a while and do something with them after this.
Yeah, really solid team. They're really good. Yeah. Everything they do is just, it looks real kind of. All right, guys, we're going to take
a break. Are we taking a break?
Yes, we are. We're going to take a commercial break. I know I took over there, but I'm used to it. We want to thank our sponsors. Now, to our commercial break.
Choosing the Shiv Kit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. Spunk Lube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at spunklube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shit Mitt sent you.
This is your bedroom. This is your bedroom with Blue Chew. Blue Chew uses the same active ingredients as in Viagra or Cialis, but now comes in chewable form. Chewable means better, cheaper, and works faster than pills.
I've tried Cialis, I've tried Viagra. Blue Chew works the best. It's a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's definitely gotten the job done.
No in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line, no more awkwardness.
Blue Chew allowed me to have more sexual freedom because it kicked in and worked faster.
Ordering Blue Chew is an absolute no-brainer for any man.
Blue Chew makes my girlfriend, like, want to put up with me in bed.
I felt like I did when I didn't have ED.
Order online to get your first month free.
I want my girlfriend to want me, and with Blue Chew, she really does. Blue Chew is the future of manhood.
That's BLUEChew.com. Promo STS, and you get to try it for free.
Wow.
I hear you.
Wow.
American Hostile Championship Wrestling brings you A Night with the King. This is a Fraternal Order of Eagles scholarship fundraiser on November the 9th, 2009 at 600 East Washington Street in Hayti, Missouri. That's right, November the 9th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and a show starts at 7:30 p.m. All advance tickets are only $10, $12 at the door. Call Mark for tickets at 636-232-3313. A Night with the King. Stop right there. Hey. That's right. We have a new king of pro wrestling, and that's Derek By God King. Ringside with Derek will be just the case. We'll also have the LA Hustlers, the Missouri Bad Boys, and many, many more. A Night with the King. Hey, Tom, Missouri! Be there or be square.
I didn't give a damn, but now here we are. So what do you want from me?
All right, we are back from SpunkLube.com and all of the various sponsors that we know and love. And so, per usual tradition, we're going to have some shout-outs here in the middle of the show. I will allow my guest host, Brian Trammell, to go first. Who are you shouting out?
All right, I want to shout out that dog across the street that keeps on – well, he's not really across the street, next door to me. So, guys, if you hear that dog barking, there's absolutely nothing I can do. My neighbor puts him in the backyard, and for some reason, all he likes to do is go – oh, my God, it drives me crazy. But shout out to him. So if y'all hear him, that's a big shout out to Dog Next Door.
I'm expecting that soundbite to be used many times in the future, too. That was great of you barking. So now the wife doesn't make you do that bark, does she?
No, we shouldn't know about.
So, and shout out to my dog for being silent every time we record, as we've noted in the past. She is the best. So anyway,
speaking of dogs and shout outs, so I do a recording this morning. This is hilarious. I do a recording this morning. We have a boxer in the house now. It's a baby girl's boxer. He's laying next to the computer, and he's snoring so loud that I think we picked it up. So
that's awesome.
I take this piece of paper, I wad it up, and I hit him in the head so that he would quit snoring. It doesn't even bother him. He just keeps
That's awesome. I'm going to have to listen to that on the blooper show for the dog snoring. My shout out goes to a woman I actually met at Bound for Glory. This woman actually comes and sits. Comes and sits in the seat right in front of me. And it's like one of those weird things where you know people from Twitter and you know who they are, but you don't really, you've never met them. So anyway, I recognize her. She's an Asian girl with blonde hair. So it kind of stands out like Shotzi Blackheart with green hair, I guess. So anyway, shout out to Trina De La Suerte, who was sitting right in front of me. I've seen her name on Twitter a million times. She's liked some of my shit. I've liked some of her stuff on Twitter. So, and we were joking back and forth throughout the whole night about different things and stuff. And so, but then she left during the main event. Go figure. And I never got a chance to introduce myself and make it official that we follow each other on Twitter or anything. So anyway, shout out to her. I hope she listens to the show. Had a blast like comparing notes with you and making jokes about the shows and stuff. So anyway, all right, resuming the card. Next up was, I will go out and say it before we get to it, my favorite match of the night. It was Big Mike, Michael Elgin, against Mara Fuji, over from, I guess, NOAH. Isn't that where he works?
Yes,
is
sir.
Pro Wrestling
yes,
NOAH? Sir. Totally strong style match, just a chop fest. What I liked about, I mean, I liked a lot about this match, but they were doing the whole chess game kind of thing where they were answering each other's moves and counteracting each other's moves and knew what was coming. So they avoided it and stuff. I thought it was just a brilliant, well put together match, definitely New Japan style. So all of you Puro bros out there might want to watch this card for this match, because to me, this was the highlight of the night as far as pure wrestling goes. Just great match. Elgin wins with a, whatever the move is called. It's like a Death Valley driver. I'm not sure what it is, but just a move like just looks phenomenal coming from a guy with so much power and so much strength. But they were move for move. They went about at least, I think it was like at least 15 minutes. So just great match. Hard hitting.
Yeah, 18 minutes. Yeah.
Yep. And I gave it 4.25. Loved it. The one thing I want to comment is I can't remember who it was that said this, but somebody, I think it was one of the P3 guys, was bitching about Jimmy Havoc's hair because he has that big tuft of hair on the top of his head.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Mara Fuji has that same tuft of hair on his head. So I hope you guys aren't racist and you will call Mara Fuji on the fact that he also has that weird fucking thing on top of his head. And it doesn't take away from the fact that he's a fantastic wrestler. So I gave it 4.25. Love this match.
Okay, so I love this match, too. I liked, I said 4 stars easily.
Yep.
Here's the only thing is that when you're watching it on television, it felt like the crowd, the whole energy of the crowd was gone. And
it
I
was.
Don't know if
yep.
they were, yeah, I don't know.
It
if
was because they,
were... they
didn't know who Mara Fuji was. They barely yeah. know Big Mike because Big Mike hasn't done a ton in Impact. He's been there this year, but he hasn't been on a ton of TV matches. So they know him and they were okay with him, but he was the heel in this match too. But they don't know, they didn't know Mara Fuji at all. So they, I don't think they reacted. I think the heat was definitely down. You're right.
Yeah, it was really down the very front of the match. I don't know. I think he's been there long enough to do his stuff. He should be over. But they didn't know Mara Fuji at all, and it just
right.
it really went down. And then when it really picked up, the crowd picked up. It was real, real good because the crowd was into everything. You know, this would have been great in Japan with NOAH in a crowd of maybe 800 people with
yeah.
everybody knowing what was going on but just a great match. Elgin has probably Elgin and Swan guys, if y'all don't watch Impact and you say, well, I'm not gonna watch Impact, it's stupid, blah blah blah, you're missing out. Those two guys
yeah.
have had some of the best matches on anywhere this year,
mm-hmm.
anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and against each other. They had a
yeah.
couple matches against each other that was just total awesome. But, they're really good match, real good match.
I think what you referenced, I was thinking the same thing watching it, is like, this is a G1 match. This is like watching a G1 match.
It was.
These guys,
it
I
was.
Mean, they've both been in the G1, maybe
the
not
build
against each
too.
Other.
The
but
build was.
It was
G-
so
yeah, yeah,
good
yeah.
and just so fluid and hard-hitting and just total strong style match. The build, I will call you on that, the build for this was terrible, I thought, going into the card because...
No, I'm talking about the build of the actual match
yeah.
during the match. Yeah, for the finish.
But
where you're
the whole point of the match was Elgin was basically saying, Mara Fuji, you're the one guy in Japan
right.
that I've never wrestled, and you've never seen the power of Michael Elgin. I'm like, yeah, and? You know, it's like, I don't know, it wasn't exactly the most dramatic build. I thought the build kind of sucked for getting ready
for
the match.
Too.
But the match itself was excellent. So, all right, then we go to the 5-way ladder match for the X Division title. We've got Tessa Blanchard, Daga. Did they ever reference on TV them being a couple? I don't think they have. No,
they said that they tagged a couple weeks ago or last week. That's all they said. Go ahead.
So Tessa Daga. It was Tessa Daga, Ace Austin, AC Romero, and Jake Crist. This obviously being a ladder match with those five people was all over the place. I honestly, going into this, I thought this has to be Tessa's coronation. I really thought this was going to be Tessa's coronation, that they were going to put the belt on her. But in retrospect, I think, honestly, I think they have even bigger plans for her. So I think they're holding out the main event, the main title for Tessa at some point, probably in 2020. But I thought the timing was right for it to happen here. But then what I referenced earlier about the Battle Royal, or the Rumble match, rather, is that Eddie Edwards won that. And Ace Austin won this. And so they're really going forward with this Alicia Edwards trilogy thing, or, you know, this tryst or whatever you want to call it, where Eddie Edwards' wife is, you know, being flirted with Ace Austin, and he's trying to bang her and literally says, "I'm going to bang your wife." So I think they're really going forward with that soap opera angle this year. And so that's why they put Ace Austin over for this, because Ace now has a title. And Eddie Edwards can challenge for any title with that win. So I think that's what this comes down to. So anyway, this match was all over the place. I wrote down, oh my fucking God, on the Daga sunset flip over the top, onto Crist, onto the ladder that was draped outside the ring. Ugh. That was fucking amazing. Austin ran up a ladder that was up at a 45-degree angle on one of the corner buckles, ran up the ladder, and then did a somersault over the top turnbuckle to the floor. That was another amazing move. And then, of course, the biggest move of the night was this Ace Romero dude, who's got to be, damn, what do you think, 350?
Oh, no. He's got it. Yeah, I'd say 425. 400? I mean, yeah.
So this guy on the top of the ladder, and this had to be like at least a 15-foot ladder, in the ring, he's at the top of the ladder, and Tessa topples the ladder over. He goes over the top to the floor through a table, which just the spectacle of that was incredible enough. And then by some sort of weird physics, the ladder itself went over the rope too, also to the floor, and nails him on the floor as he's laying there in the shambles of the table. So just amazing spot. At that point, OVE does their run-in. They take out Tessa. Heat was off the fucking charts for this. I don't know if this came through, but the heat of OVE attacking Tessa was just incredible. And then I kind of, later on, I saw it coming once I realized that this wasn't going to be the Tessa coronation, that Ace backdoors into the belt, grabs the belt. Jake Crist goes through a table. Tessa gets taken out with that stupid cane. I don't know how bad that looked on TV, but Ace Austin clobbers Tessa with his cane, and like it falls apart. It looks like a wet noodle basically when it hits her. So the match itself was excellent. I gave this also 4.25 stars. The heat was off the charts, super spot fest, and just really enjoyable match.
I knew this was going to come off a lot better
live
than it did. I gave it 3.5. I thought some of the bumps were crazy. I enjoyed it, but I didn't think couldn't get into it. Like, and I knew you would come off with it at least. I was like, it's going to be maybe a star better live. You actually get to hear everything. Jake Chris, to me, maybe one of the most improved when it comes to his work, and also just the look, the way he's presenting himself now. You know, he's got that's the only thing that I kind of hated is that they took the belt off of him really quick. I'd like to see this character develop more, and he's improved so much. But I was also I thought it was Tessa's time. I think they kind of, you know, I see where they're going, but it just felt like it was Tessa's time to win the belt. So it just was really weird. And it took the crowd, like, it was so hot. If she would have won, it was one of those things you remember back in the day when they talked about they changed the finish because the crowd was one way instead of another. This could have been the perfect time to say, hey, Ace, you know, fall when you're coming up, because we're fixing to put the belt on her. So it just would have been, it would have been nutty. They love her. She is the top babyface. I really think she is the top babyface in this promotion.
I think she's got that. I hate to cite. Yeah, she's got it for sure. But she's got that kind of Austin badass, kind of in between kind of persona that I thought Becky had at first when they turned Becky. Well, when they tried to turn Becky. She's kind of got that same badass character, you know, not like Austin-ish exactly.
But you believe it. You believe it. Yeah, you believe it.
They're behind her, even though she really hasn't done anything particularly to go babyface.
She's lost every time.
You know, yeah. So like we both said, I thought timing would have been perfect for it here. The crowd would have exploded. But I hear rumblings that, you know, they got the bigger plans for her and they're going to put the main belt on her. So I think that's probably why Cage retained here, so that eventually down the line he does lose it to Sammy. And then she ends up beating Sammy for the title, and that, you know, the disgusting, slovenly, gross Sammy Callahan ends up getting pinned by a woman. And I think they've already got friction and heat and a storyline there. So I think that's eventually the route they're going to go to. I don't know if they'll take it all the way to Next Bound for Glory, but sometime in 2020,
it could be,
she's getting,
you know,
that
it
belt.
Could be the other way around, because her and Cage have actually had matches.
They've wrestled.
Before.
Yeah, that's
lot,
true.
So,
all right. Then we get to, probably my most surprising match of the night was Moose and Ken Shamrock, who I'm guessing Shamrock's got to be about our age. He's got to be about 55, 56.
He is 55. Yep,
there.
Yep. He's 55.
My first notes on this in all caps, holy fuck. Shamrock does a dive over the top rope, hands free, doesn't touch the ropes, clears the ropes, dives over, and Moose is supposed to catch him. Moose nearly fucking misses him altogether, and it was right in front of us, so I'm not sure what kind of camera vantage point they had.
Yes, we got it. We saw it.
Right in front of us, and if Moose hadn't just toppled him at the last second, Ken Shamrock would have broken his neck, because he was going straight down head first to the floor head first, and Moose just barely got his ass in the way to break the fall. But that dive from Shamrock blew my fucking mind. And like I said, he would have died or at least been paralyzed if he had hit the floor, because he was going head first. Shamrock does some amazing shit that caught me off guard. He does a Frankensteiner in the ring. I thought the first half of the match was incredible. I was amazed at Shamrock doing the effort that he gave into it. About halfway through, it really slowed down. I don't know if it was Shamrock's cardio or whatever, or Moose's cardio for all I know, but it really slowed down. It got kind of sloppy in the second half, just slowed down to a crawl. Moose ends up winning with a spear, and he wins it, which is the right finish. Obviously, you bring in a name like Shamrock to make a guy like Moose. Moose is staying. Shamrock's just there for a cup of coffee. So obviously, it was the right finish that Moose goes over on him. I gave it 2 3/4 because I just entirely blown away by the Shamrock effort. And like I said, the first half of the match was really strong, and then once they started getting winded and tired in the second half, it slowed down. But still, overall, 2 3/4. I enjoyed it.
I don't even know if they was winded and tired. I think part of this was that I wrote down it was so well put together, the match was. Mm-hmm. It was going so good. It was either, like you said, they got winded, or there was something they were – what happens is when you do something you're supposed to do kind of thing, and you don't do it, mm-hmm. and then you fuck up the mats, then
you lose your spot.
Yeah. And you forget where you're supposed to be. I gave it 3 stars. I really liked it. And it was mainly Shamrock. And just so everybody knows, you know, Shamrock came out 55 years old, a fantastic body. And yes, me and Lance both, if we took our shirts off, we'd look the same way.
I look just like that.
Just
there
like
were people
that.
Confusing me for Shamrock at that age.
So but yeah, I enjoyed it. Had a fun match. At one point, I think Moose hurt his knee for real. For real? He was holding it odd, you know, and then he was holding it when Frank Trigg was outside
Frank,
the ring.
That was not Kurt Angle. Everybody around me was like, hey, what's Kurt Angle doing here? I'm like, he does bear a striking resemblance to Kurt Angle, and he was from MMA also, or from amateur wrestling. But anyway, so yeah, that was Frank Trigg.
Oh, he is so good
Boost.
as a like a crony. That's what he comes mm-hmm. off as a manager. And also the build-up, the video for this match was so well done, where they were talking back and forth and everything. Just fantastic build-up for the match. But 3 stars for the whole match. It could have been shorter, and I think it would have been better. So
yeah, they could have trimmed a few minutes off the very end. Like you said, I don't know, that could be a good point too. They lost their spot and they couldn't get back to it because they're neither one of them are, you know, seasoned professional wrestlers that they could just resume where they were at.
But yeah, right. How many matches of both of those guys?
Shamrock's main thing is MMA, obviously, yeah, but he's done professional wrestling. But yeah. I'm saying these guys, neither one of these guys are Ric Flair where they could just pick up where they left off type of thing, you know. So like you said, that could be it, or just like I said, they could have been just winded. One of them or both of them, or could have been Moose's knee, like you said. So, all right. Then we get to the main event, which was Brian Cage against Sami Callihan. And I just referenced this on one of the shows last week. I think it was the OTO show. When there's a grudge match, you need to have a fast start. And this was a grudge match, and they started fast. And I'm like, praise God. You know, I'd like throw my hands up in the air because it was a fast start where Cage had been picked on by Sami Callihan. He got handcuffed to the ropes and had to watch Sami pile drive his wife, Melissa Santos. So they had been building this for the last couple of weeks into a really like vile, you know, grudge match. And they had the fast start. So I love that. Cage comes out dressed as Wolverine with all this gear. And, you know, he's not a man, he's a machine, and he's got all this gear. So I don't know if this came across on TV, but Sami blades before Cage does the spot where he's supposed to cut him. So Cage grabbed his fake Wolverine blades from his hands.
No. So I'll tell you what happened. On commentary, he bladed because he bit him. Because Cage bit him.
Cage
that's how
bit
the
him,
blood
so that's
started.
How he bladed. Yeah, okay. Because then about a minute later, he rakes his face with those adamantine blades from the Wolverine gimmick. And I thought, well, did Sami just blade before he had like a solid minute before he was supposed to? So it was refreshing to see Juice. I'll say that. I'm a sick fuck. They did a dive fest early where just wild shit, where they're both doing dives all over the place and stuff. Just a wild start. Moves all over the place. Cage comes over right next to where I'm at and grabs the rail, unhooks the rail from where I'm standing, basically.
Well,
and they
let me make a note right there. Okay. Now, I was really thought that was you, but then I saw what you was wearing, and you know you're supposed to be wearing a wrestling shirt. and you had your hat backwards. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know this, but I bet you don't know this. They actually put stuff on the front of those caps.
They
so
do.
That you wear them that way. That I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just one of my pet peeves. But
for the
but
record,
I was cracking up. I was like, "He's." I see the picture you sent me earlier. I was like, "That motherfucker's not even wearing a wrestling shirt. He should have his chokehold."
I know.
I should have texted John. Said,
I'm not good. I'm not good with rules. You know, I don't wear the wrestling shirts or the podcast shirts when I go to wrestling. Those are worn to concerts, and concert shirts are worn here. So, and for the record, that was a Rosemary hat I was wearing. So there you go.
Backwards, though. So everybody behind you could see. You know, I got a meme that I seen one time. Some guy was at a baseball game. He had his cap backwards, and he had his hand in front of his eyes trying to keep the sun out of his eyes.
To block the sun. Yeah, exactly. So, no, I mean, all the cool kids wear their hats backwards.
No, they don't.
Anyway, all right, we're going to skip the fashion sense 2019 here. Both guys bleeding. Cage's mouth is bleeding. I think he bit his lip. I know it wasn't a blade. I think he bit his lip.
He either bit his lip or he got, or Callihan hit him really hard during one
something
of those,
because he had a fat lip after the match and he was gushing from the mouth. Yeah. And Sami obviously cut himself. So Sami was gushing from the forehead. Power bomb onto the bent railing. I think they both took power bombs onto that bent railing, which was the railing that came out from right where I was standing.
Right.
Sami breaks out the bag of thumbtacks, which I always pop for that. Cage gets pile driven into the thumbtacks head first and kicks out.
I think it was a one count.
Yeah, he got the one count. I'm like, I have never seen, like, usually they'll take, like, the guy who's wearing the flak jacket, who is Sami Callihan's wearing the flak jacket, that's the guy who's going to take the bump into the thumbtacks. Usually you'll get maybe a backdrop into the thumbtacks, but a guy taking the pile driver head first into the thumbtacks. So he pops out at one, and then he turns around and promptly powerbombs Sami with the flak jacket into the thumbtacks and then gets the win on that. So I enjoyed it. I gave it 3 3/4. Really enjoyed. The work rate was superb. Melissa Santos obviously comes out to celebrate with her husband because they avenged the evil Sami Callihan antics. So going into this, like about 2-3 weeks ago, I thought they're putting the belt on Sammy here, because it's, like I said, kind of a little bit less than with Tessa, but I thought this is Sammy's time. He's done such a fantastic job as a heel for this past year or so. Ever since the thing with Eddie Edwards with the baseball bat, I thought Sammy Callahan is one of my absolute favorite heels in the business. And I thought the time is right. They're going to put it on him. But then they had him beating up Melissa a couple times in front of Cage. And I thought, oh, there's absolutely no way they're going to not let the husband avenge this and have, you know, retain the belt and put down Sammy for the 1-2-3. And sure enough, that's where they went. So they end the show on a happy note. He celebrates with Melissa Santos. I heard you groaning over there. Yes. And again, really enjoyed the match overall. Really strong way to finish the show. 3¾ for that match. What'd you think?
Well, hell, this is probably, you were talking about your favorite match was Elgin. This was my favorite match. I gave it, I gave it 4 stars also, but it was just, I just love blood and guts and like the whole story. Callahan did an awesome interview before the match that they showed.
Loved that interview. Yep.
Yes. He's doing the black and white gimmick. He makes them stop it. And it's just, it's not, this is a shoot type interview, but it was really well done. Loved the match. Loved the blood and guts. You're right. They did start really fast, which I thought was funny. But I also thought it was kind of funny when he first walked out. I seen him in the Wolverine gear, and I was like, man, I'm mad at this guy. I want to beat his ass. But, man, I'm in my Wolverine gear.
So, yeah, I just – there were people around me. There were a handful of people around me snickering at that gear.
I loved that gear, kind of the joke. And I love Cage, man. He is I really think he has slimmed down a little bit, but when he's
still a beast, though.
Yes.
He's still a beast.
I love it that he can do everything.
Yep.
And still be that, I want to say steroid monster, but I'm not going to say that. But he is a monster. He really comes off that way. I don't know who they got him set up for. I think it's really exciting to see what they do. Callahan is, you know, there's going to be something with his group of people eventually against each other. That's what they'll probably lead to first. But Cage against who? You know, who's coming up next? Because Cage has beat everyone that they brought to him so far. And I think he's a perfect champion to have for this new audience on Access. I mean,
You might be right. I think that they keep him with Sammy. I think that they'll just keep building stuff with Melissa. I honestly thought they were possibly going to do some kind of Melissa turns on him or something, because you let me get beat up by Sammy twice. So, you know, and she clobbers him or hits him over the head or something, or, you know, breaks his heart and causes Sammy to get the win. I thought that was a possibility here. And that could be a possibility down the line. I think, like I said, my prediction is that they keep these two together. Because Sammy is just, he's too good as a heel to not be at the top of the card. You know, his act is so good and so, like, just pisses you off. You know, it's like that kind of heel that you just really want to hate. You know, he just does it so well compared to all the cool heels that want to get cheered, you know. So I think they keep him, like I said, I think they keep him together. Eventually he finally beats Cage, maybe with a Santos turn or something. And then they eventually get it to Tessa next spring or in the summer. And that's the coronation that I was expecting last night. So anyway, fantastic show. We had a great time. Like you said, great time for them to get on Access TV and kick it off with this kind of card. Knowing them, they'll probably show it on TV in a couple weeks or something after they get a few more buys out of it. So I thought it was a fun-ass show. We have MLW's pay-per-view coming up in a couple weeks, so I'll be going to that too. Second row for that. So got a live report. We'll come post-haste after that is over as well. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up, dude?
I don't have anything else to say. As always, I do always have fun with Impact's pay-per-views. This was a solid, no thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm not going to say what. I think it was solid. It was really fun for them. And if you're just jumping on their bandwagon and this is your first pay-per-view, it was better than the last WWE pay-per-view easily. So
Yeah, I mean, the worst match of the night was the pre-show, which you don't have to sit through. And the worst match on the actual card itself was, like, for me, it was like 2¼. So not bad at all. And there was everything for the last couple matches, 4 matches or so, was at least like in the 4-star range. So definitely I'd say it's worth going back and getting on Fight TV or whatever your options are. Thank you for sitting in today, Mr.
Yes, Trimble. Sir.
And as you know, I have fun everywhere I go. come back, listen to us. We're going to be doing a Cool Kids Countdown later this week, which will be fun. Our Halloween spectacular, as we always do. And we will talk to you later.
All right. And remember, we have Wednesday Night Dynamite coming.
That's right.
Wednesday. Three times a week.
Graphic design is very important. Your logo is the first image potential customers see. What kind of impression would you want to make today? Need a podcast logo or a t-shirt design? KT does art. Her name has become synonymous with quality and professionalism in the graphic design community. She specializes in graphic design, painting, and more. She provides affordable commissions and professional quality with a timely delivery. Contact KT via email at kt_doesart@yahoo.com. Check out her Instagram at instagram.com/kt_doesart.
That was another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. Looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever? That's right, contact me and be a contestant on Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. A big shout out to our sponsors this month. Also, remember, we have a Patreon for only $1. That's patreon.com/shootingtheshiznit without the G. A special thanks to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets, Gene Jackson at Locals2Legends.com, and Sean Garmer at Wrestling to Max website. You can reach me on Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter, at BT Shooting the Shiznit on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook with a Shooting the Shiznit Facebook page. We have the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. If we don't like you, we'll kick you out, but you also have to ask to get in. All the archives are at www.stspod.club. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, Spotify, and all the fun podcast players. Podcast Roll Call. A big shout out to Creative Control. Keeping it 100. Memphis Memories with Randy Hales. And my buddies over there at P3 Radio, Max and Josh. Guys, I am Brian Trammell. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.